That's why Jesus said, believers shall what? Lay hands on the sick. And the sick shall what? Recover. They shall be healed. And so here we see in John chapter 5, let's just look at it here, John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, verse 2, it says, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Hallelujah. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for a move of God. Well, guess what? We don't need to wait anymore. Jesus already went to the cross. He already went to the cross. He paid the price in full. By His stripes, you and I are healed. Let's all say it. By His stripes, I am healed. One more time. By His stripes, I am healed. Amen. It says, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Everybody say 38 years.
38 years.
You know, there's four lies that the enemy will try to tell people. I've been in the healing ministry for a long time now. Four lies that the enemy will often tell people. Number one, maybe your situation has gone on too long. Well, 38 years is a long time, but guess what? It's not too long for Jesus. It's never too long for Jesus. All right. There's a lady that was healed in a service last year. She had a disease for 54 years. Started at 9 years of age. And she came to church that morning, and she was completely set free from that foul disease, and she's been healed ever since. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was in a service 3-4 weeks ago, and a young boy who was mute. He was born mute. All right, never had said a syllable. All right, and so we laid hands on him. The power of God went into his body, and the next morning he woke up speaking syllables. All right. By the end of the week, he was forming words, and he was saying, look, mommy, look. Well, of course, you know what that did to mommy, right? So, all right. And so we should be seeing these things, right, more and more. All right, so this man was there for an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? You know, you would think that that would be a simple question to respond to, you know. Hey, 38 years you've been this way. Do you want to be well? You want to be well? All right. I like what it says in one translation. Are you really serious about getting your healing? You know. Right? Because after 38 years, you become accustomed. You become conditioned. Right? Come on now. All right, you talk to people that have car accidents and they are paralyzed or they have to get in a wheelchair. All right, the first couple of years, all right, is, you know, not so bad. They still remember what it was like to walk and to do normal things. But, you know, after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, okay, all of a sudden disappointment and discouragement, things begin to set in, right? And so it's not such an easy thing in their mind, right? All right. I remember a lady one time. We were doing a healing service, and she was right in the front row. She was in a wheelchair. She was paralyzed, and so I said to her, I just happened to say, "Hey, lady, hey, you ready to be healed tonight? You ready to be healed tonight?" Well, she said to me, "Excuse me, who are you fooling?" I'm like, uh-oh, I struck a nerve there, you know. And she said, well, can I pray for you for healing? She said, well, no, you, but you can pray for me. I said, well, yeah, for healing. No, no, no. But you can pray for me. And at that moment, I said, okay, Houston, we have a problem. This is the healing service. She's here. She doesn't want prayer for healing, but she wants prayer. There's a lot of people that are in that situation, right? Because we become conditioned often. When we've been dealing with something for a long time, all right, it's easy for things to set in, all right? Disappointment, discouragement. You know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, then there's another one, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so I said to Lee, I said, okay, time out here, time out. I said, first of all, if I said something that just kind of really struck a chord wrongly, hey, listen, I apologize here. But hey, let's just take a time out. Let me ask you a couple questions. Now, this was in front of the whole service. This one, everybody was listening. I said, so how long have you been in this chair? Been in this chair for 12 years. Okay, 12 years is a long time. All right, so what complications, what things have you had over the 12 years besides being in a wheelchair? Well, I have migraines. I have 24/7 migraines. All right, and no matter what I try to do, no matter the medications or whatever, I've been living with migraine headaches 24/7 for several years. I said, that's bad. That's horrible. All right. So what else? Well, she said, you know, after being in this chair, you know, I feel like my neck is like in a turtle shell. You know, it's like I have very little mobility and all these different things. I'm like, yeah, I can see that. I mean, I don't know what it's like to be in a wheelchair for that long, but I can understand what you're talking about. I said, well, what else? Well, I also have bursitis in the shoulder, so I can't lift up the shoulder. All right, and yet, so when it comes to showering or doing my hair, you know, I need help, right? I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. Okay, so what else? I'm just asking, like, 12 years in a wheelchair. Most people don't have a clue what people go through, right? So then she says, well, now I've had hip deterioration, and so the doctor says, you know, I need a hip replacement. But what good does that do? Because I'm paralyzed. I can't walk. So I said, now I understand. Now I understand why me saying to you, are you ready to be healed today? That would strike a chord. I said to her, okay, let's back up for here. Let me just ask you a simple question. Do you think God could heal a headache? She looked at me like, what? I said, yeah, do you think God could heal a headache? It's not just an easy, no trick question here, easy thing. Do you think God could heal a headache? Well, I guess so. I said, okay. Well, guess what? That's where we're going to start. Do you mind if I pray for you for those migraines to leave? She said, well, I reckon so. I said, well, I'll take that as a yes. So I prayed for her, and before... as I'm in the middle of my prayer, she, with the other hand, she starts batting my arm, right? And she's like, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? I'm like, okay, what are you talking about, right? Well, as soon as you started praying for me, that migraine headache, it was like a band of pain. It just like took off. It just went off of me. And I said, well, that's good, right? She said, well, yeah, it's good, all right? I'm like, okay. So I said, well, praise the Lord, you know. Glory to God, all right? She goes, wow, that was weird. I said, no, that's just God. All right? Thank God it's God, right? And so she's like, yeah, wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm like, well, yeah, that's God. Let's just thank the Lord, you know. And so then I said, okay, so let me ask you another question. Do you think that God could heal you of that neck mobility? Oh, well, I don't know about that. I said, well, he just healed you of a migraine. You think he could? Well, I said, well, I'll just take it as a yes. So I prayed for her, and I prayed for her neck. And just like that, she's like, laws have mercy. You know, she's like, oh, my gosh, like, I haven't felt like this. And I said, yeah, that's the Lord. Okay. All right. So we rejoice. We thank the Lord. And I said, okay, how about that bursitis? Oh, well, I don't know about that. I'm like, please, please, at least stay in neutral, okay? So I said, do you see what God is doing? He healed you of your migraine, your neck. I mean, and so she says, well, okay. I'm like, well, what do you mean, well, okay? Let's believe God here, okay? So I prayed for her, and just like that, her arm shot up. She's like, how did I do that? I said, it's your arm. Like, I mean, it's your arm. I mean, you know. And she's like, well, that's well, I guess that's wonderful. I said, yeah, it is wonderful, okay, if you haven't been able to do that. So, all right. So then I said, well, do you see what God's doing? All right. I said, well, there's only, you know, one more thing. And so I prayed for her hips, and her hips are like going, oh, my gosh. Her eyes are like, what in the world is going on? I said, yeah, God's also a chiropractor, you know. He knows how to put you in alignment. He knows how to do all these different things. Come on now. All right. And so she's like, oh, wow, this is, you know. I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, it's good stuff, right? And so I we all rejoice. I mean, this is like 20 minutes gone by in a church service. And we all rejoice. We were all watching what God's doing in her life, you know. And so I said to her, hey, listen, there's only one more thing. She said, yeah, you're right. She stood up on her feet, and she took off running around the room. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But sometimes you come up against, a limit, right, in people's thinking, okay, just because they've been that way for so long, all right? And so a lot of times you have to work with people, all right? She just needed a nudging, okay, all right? And you know, I tell people all the time, hey, the way you get healed is you keep your foot on the accelerator and you refuse to quit. You see, the greatest thing that we can do for Jesus is to go after our healing, because it cost him everything. Yes. The greatest thing that we can do for Jesus is to go after our healing, because it cost him everything. You know, I was with a family one time. We were traveling in a van, and my son was smaller. He was in the back of the van. And we were going through McDonald's. We were on our way to a Sunday night service. And so we all ordered, you know, and so the food was, you know, sent back. And here he is in the back of the van. And he says, Dad, you got to stop. You got to go back. I'm like, son, what's up? And, Dad, stop. Stop the car. You got to go back. I'm like, son, what's going on here? Dad, they forgot the Happy Meal. They forgot the toy. He got the Happy Meal. They left out the toy. And I'm like, well, son, it's, he said, Dad, go back. I need to get the toy. So I turned around, and of course, it's a long line, and you know, and so I finally make it to the window, and the lady's like, so is there anything wrong? I said, yeah, well, our order is fine, but my son, he didn't get the toy. She's like, okay, all right. So she gave us the toy, you know. And as I'm driving off, the Holy Spirit says to me, he says, don't ever settle for less than the price that was paid. Don't ever settle for less than the price that was paid. And I'll have to be honest tonight, Christians, we're really good at functioning, putting up with stuff, but we're not free. And people put up with bum knees and bad ankles and had shoulders and all these different things. Okay. We do it. And even with when we say a healing service, people still sit in the seat, all right, and they don't respond. Like I said, the best thing that you can do for Jesus is to go after your healing, because it costs Jesus every drop of blood. He purchased it. He paid the debt in full so that you could be healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go in your Bible, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8. So I tell people we have to develop an aggression against sickness. You have to hate sickness. You have to get to the point where enough is enough is enough. I hate sickness. I hate disease. See, when I was in an experimental hospital, so I walked the halls, and people that were there in that hospital were there for experimental reasons. You wouldn't believe the kinds of just devilish diseases and sicknesses. People didn't even look human. The little kids who were there, they looked like Martians. They're there for years, undergoing all kinds of experimental drugs and things. I mean, it's like, man, wow, what the devil has done with sickness, okay? And so you, when you see stuff like that, and when you've had sickness, you've dealt with it long enough, listen, you something needs to rise up on the inside and say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to tolerate sickness, okay? I'm not going to put up with any more pain in my body anymore, all right? I shared this the other day. It's like the young man that came to me, 32 years of age, and he says, listen, I haven't been diagnosed with this, and so I'm going to have to take this medication for the rest of my life. I said, what? Do you understand what you're saying? You're, 32 years of age? Are you serious? Do you really want to take that medication for the rest of your life? Well, not really. Well, yeah, not really. I mean, you're 32 years of age. So do you want to take this medication for the next 40 years? Well, I never thought about it that way. Well, I'm challenging your thinking, because you don't have to take that medication for the rest of your life. See, a question that we ought to ask ourselves, many of us are over 40, 50, 60, whatever it is. Do you really want to spend more time going in and out of doctor's offices for the next 20 or 30 years? We had a lady that was healed. She had 23 diseases. She said, I have been in the doctor's office 327 times in the last 15 months. Wow. I said, you have the record. I've never heard of anybody gone. I mean, literally a specialist, you know, a doctor here, you know, a test, you know, just, I mean, 20-some diseases, okay? You know what? Within 3 months, she was completely healed of all those diseases. Hallelujah. Let's give it up for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so let's look here in Matthew chapter 8. And I want us to look at this story of the centurion as we really kind of prepare for healing and ministering to the sick tonight. Let's read the story in Matthew 8, verse number 5. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." I want you to notice that statement that Jesus made. I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. You know, that's quite a statement for Jesus to make. That of all the people that he saw, all the people that he prayed for, this man, he had not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel. Now, the question that I pose to you tonight is this: how can a Roman-born centurion, who was not raised in the Jewish law, he didn't know the Torah, he wasn't raised knowing Jewish law, Jewish customs, Jewish principles. I mean, you know, when you were raised as a Jewish child or raised in a Jewish home, you had the scriptures, you know. The Jewish people had the frontlets. I mean, the Word of God. I mean, they knew every jot and tittle. They had all kinds of just, they knew, in other words, they just knew the Word, right? Well, how does a Roman have more faith than all of those people in all of Israel? How is that possible? How is it a tough man, centurion, charge of soldiers, all right, not raised as a Jew, raised as a Roman, how is it possible that a Roman, Jesus said, I have not found such great faith, not in all of Israel? That's quite a statement. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight how he had that kind of faith. Number one, yes, he understood authority. But when he came to Jesus, he wasn't coming to a Jesus who was a rabbi. He wasn't coming to a Jesus who was a good teacher. He wasn't coming to Jesus who was a historical figure. When he came to Jesus, he recognized one thing. Jesus has all authority and all power. Right? Jesus has all authority and all power. See, a lot of times I think when we pray, we're looking at our ability. We're looking at what we can do. When we pray, we're like, you know, some people look at, when they pray, they're looking at a crucifix. So I guess they just have to pray the rosary or pray to a saint, because that's their image of Jesus. Some people pray, well, you know, Jesus, if it be your will, you know. And so some people, like I said, look at a historical Jesus. But see, this man was not looking at any of that. He recognized authority, and he knew that Jesus carried all authority in all power. Jesus has all authority in all power. Let's say it with me. Say, Jesus has all authority in all power. One more time. Jesus has all authority in all power. See, when you start praying to that kind of Jesus, you're going to get that kind of Jesus results. But as long as you're looking at a Jesus who died 2,000 years ago, in a Jesus who doesn't matter or doesn't have any power, or you're not sure he's going to show up or he's going to show off, if you're still looking at a Jesus that, yeah, we read in the Bible, oh yeah, he did those things years ago. See, if you're looking at Jesus like that, guess what? You're going to have powerless results. You're still going to be wondering, why does it seem like prayers aren't answered? Why does it seem like I'm still sick and I'm not healed? No, but when you change the focus here, and when you say, you know what? Jesus has all authority and all power, and that's the Jesus that I pray to. That is the Jesus that I know. See, when I teach these young people, that's the Jesus that you're praying to. Don't look and see what the problem is. Look and see who Jesus is. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, when we pray, when we go to the Lord, we ought to remember this. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is Lord of glory. He has all authority and all the power. So what is this situation in light of who he is? How many are with me tonight?
Amen.
See, if you start praying to that kind of Jesus, then whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going on in your body, it pales. It just is easy. It's tiny. It's puny. It's little compared to who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so tonight, that's the Jesus that we're praying to. He has what? All authority and all power. Say it again. He has what? All authority and all power. Glory to God. I'm just going to end with this story, and then we're going to pray for folks. I've shared this many times before, but my one of my daughters, she was going to Florida. She was on a tennis scholarship. We were looking at different colleges, and she went down to this one university, and so I just felt peace about it that she was supposed to go there. She felt good about it. But we had to set up a time for the coach to, see a tryout. And so so we set up an appointment, and it was a couple of months in advance. And then about a month or two later, the coach called me and says, listen, I've been diagnosed with terminal lung cancer, have less than 6 months to live. I just want you to know, because you may want to choose a different university. I said, well, thanks for telling me that, but at this point, doesn't change my mind, all right? In fact, we're going to just go ahead and stand with you and believe for your healing. I said, do you know anything about healing? Well, not really. I said, are you a Christian? Well, I'm a Baptist. I said, well, God loves the Baptists. I mean, Baptists are good, so, I said, so how about if I send you some information, maybe some books or whatever, Because, listen, you're too young to die. And I know that diagnosis may seem overwhelming, but you're too young. You're too young, way too young to die. And I said, I just have a good feeling about the result, what's gonna happen. So anyway, the day came for us. We flew down there, and we were supposed to meet him at such and such a place, and he never showed up. So we were walking around trying to figure out. Yeah. So we came across the athletic director, and they said, listen, we were supposed to have this meeting with the tennis coach. He's not here. And the athletic director says, well, he didn't call you because he's taken a turn for the worse. Okay. And so I'm sorry, he's not going to be able to meet with you. But I tell you what, I'll let your daughter come and meet the other players on the team. So a few minutes later, we went over and met the team. And then it was this huge downpour, okay? Just started raining. So we all went over and huddled underneath a tree, all right? And so we just started talking and everything. And I just happened to say to the team, listen, it must be a kind of a tough season, to go through with the coach kind of being in and out, coach having a diagnosis. And I said, but we're praying for him. So the team captain said, did you say you're praying for him? I said, yeah, I said I'm praying for him. And she said, well, how would you like to pray for him right now? I said, we can gather around. No. How would you like to go pray for him right now? I said, yeah, I would like that. She said, so follow me. So she ran. She got in her car. I'm like, oh, she's serious. We're going to the coach's house, okay? All right. So we all got in a car, ran, got in the car and went down the road and everything. And so we came to the house, and all these tennis team members were there. And so I walk in, and my daughter's there. And so here's the coach. He's laying in this lounge chair, and he's got this huge oxygen tank, all right? And he's... He's breathing at about that pace. And I came in the room and I introduced myself. Hey, coach. Hey, listen, this is my daughter, Madeline. This is, you know. He says, I'm sorry, you know. My lungs are filled up with cancer, 70%. I said, God's getting ready to do a miracle. I said, listen, I was given 10 hours to live. What God did for me, he'll also do for you. Amen. And I started speaking faith into the atmosphere. I started sharing how big God is, what God's able to do. Come on now, all right? And I said, we're going to gather around. The Bible says that the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, all right? And so those young ladies, man, they're like, yes, yes, yes. I mean, look, okay, glad to have some agreement here, you know? And so we all gather around, we prayed this prayer, you know, and we're saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to heal this coach. We command this cancer to leave his body in Jesus' name. We speak the life of God over him. Lord, I pray for his lungs. Lord, remove all that cancer in Jesus' name. Let those lungs be healed. Fill those lungs up with oxygen. Cause his body to function and work. Lord, we speak life. We speak health. He will live and not die. Declare the works of the Lord. By Jesus' stripes, he's healed. And Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you that you're going to just completely restore him and heal him. And Lord, give him new life and raise him up again. And so when we pray, when I laid my hands on him, it was like, you know, a defibrillator. It was like he was just like this, you know, like whoa, you know, and so it was like a month later. I hadn't heard anything. A month later, he calls me, and he says, "Hey, Brian," he said, and I'm like, "Hey, coach." He said, "Wow, I've got to tell you a story." I said, well, you sound pretty good. He goes, I'm healed. He said, I told my surgeon, all right, I want you to open me up. And if there's anything you can do, do it. And the surgeon said, no, I'm not going to do it. There's nothing I can do. Like, there's nothing... It would be worthless. It would just be, and he said, listen, doc, it was the doctor's last surgery before retirement. Doctor, for my sake, just open me up. So a day came where the surgeon went in, opened him up, okay, and during that surgery, the surgeon said he couldn't find any evidence of any cancer at all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And so that coach served as my daughter's coach for 4 years, and he's still alive, still doing well today. So that's the Jesus that we know. Hallelujah. Everybody say, Jesus, all authority, all power is in him. That's the Jesus we know. That's the Jesus we pray to. He has all the authority and all the power. It's all in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to invite some of the ministers that are here, and maybe you're on a healing team as well. You might know better than I, but I'm going to ask for those of you that Pastor Mark that you designate to come, and we're going to have several people up here at the front ready to pray for people. And when you come tonight, this is the Jesus that I want you to see. He has all authority and all power. So your situation is minute compared to His ability, His power, and His strength. So if you guys would just begin to come, yeah. And so if you're here tonight, you know, healing is a broad subject. You know, a lot of times we pray for people with physical situations, all right? But I know also that there can be hurts, there can be disappointments, there can be things that happen to us that settle in, all right, and leave just hurt and wounding and whatever else, okay? And so I'm not limited tonight, this healing service, to just physical healing. But I know some people that are here tonight, you face discouragement, you face disappointment, all right? And I'm praying for the healer, all right? That he would just pour in that balm of Gilead. He would just pour in a healing balm, all right, to heal hurts, to heal hearts, all right, to restore relationships, okay? So whatever it is that you need tonight, all right, come to Jesus who has what? All authority and all power. Praise the Lord. Let's all lift up our hands. Just everywhere around, just lift up our hands. Lord, we just thank You tonight. We thank You. You are the great physician. You are the great physician. You are the Lord, our healer. It's in You that we live and move and have our being. Lord, we thank You that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we're not talking about a historical Jesus. We're not talking about a good rabbi that walked the earth years ago. We're talking about Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has all authority, all power. Everything rests in You tonight, Lord. Lord, and as we come, Lord, we're receiving from You Your strength, Your ability, Your power. Lord, we just thank You tonight, Father, for releasing Your power into this place tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, people that need healing of hearts or healing of bodies, Lord, I thank You for total restoration. Yes, people that have been dealing with things for years, Lord, we cancel the enemy's assignment in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter how long you've had something. It doesn't matter what your age is. You don't have to. It doesn't matter whether you think it's too difficult. You may think, well, I don't know anybody else who has been healed of it. Listen, Jesus heals all. Jesus heals all. There's nothing too hard. There's nothing too difficult for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now, I'm just going to give you just a little instruction. So, receiving is not in believing. Receiving is in doing. All through Scriptures, until someone did something, they weren't healed. I mean, even the devils believe. So when we pray for you and the power of God begins to go into your body, begin to do something that you couldn't do before. Or if you can't wait to get up here, just start doing it now. All right? Just start running around the room. Just start, you know, doing jumping jacks, okay? Whatever, you know, doing flips. I don't care. So, but in other words, receiving, we have to get a hold of this. Receiving is always in the doing. Right, brother? All right? My brother, he stood up longer than he's ever stood up, right? All right, just week before last, okay? It's in the doing. So you just, In other words, God will go wherever you go. God will go wherever you go. All right? So if there was something that you weren't able to do, just do it. Just do it, okay? Lift up your hands. If you don't know what to do, just start thanking the Lord. Start praising the Lord. Lord, I thank you tonight. You're my healer. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen.